Last time I preached here, I wasn't long. And I promise I won't exceed that time limit this morning. But I want to have a passage of scripture from the Gospel of John, John's Gospel, 19 verse. If it's your custom, you can stand together. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. Send you." When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you have forgiven the sins of any, they are forgiven. But if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called Twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the marks of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them, and although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said unto him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Using this passage of scripture, I want to use as a controlling thought this morning, a special delivery. A special delivery. Once a mother was in the kitchen making lunch for her 6-year-old daughter. The daughter was extremely excited because she was making her favorite meal, grilled cheese sandwiches. The mother said to her daughter, "Baby girl, won't you go in the closet and get a can of tomato soup?" You do know you can't eat grilled cheese without tomato soup. She said, "Mama, it's dark in the closet and I'm afraid." The mama thought about a way to convince her daughter to go into the closet, and she said, "Well, when you go in there, the Lord will be with you when you go get the tomato soup." The daughter was still shivering with fear, but she finally got up. She didn't step into the dark closet. She just put her hand in there and prayed this prayer, "Lord, if it's really you in there, will you please hand me a can of tomato soup?" Have you ever been in a situation where your fear was greater than your faith? Have you ever been in a dilemma when your back was up against the wall? Have you ever been in an existential reality so tumultuous that it seemed hopeless? Or have you ever been down so long that you know you needed somebody to come and rescue you? I've come by this morning to let you know that everybody here, from the pulpit to the door, the balcony to the floor, is in need of rescue from something or somebody. We need to be rescued sometimes from mediocrity where we don't live our best selves for the glory of God. Some of us need to be rescued from some people who want to bring us down every time we try to rise. Some of us need to be rescued from pathologies and theologies that lock people out but don't give freedom to all God's children. But I understand now that we serve a God who's a liberating God. You do know God is a liberating God. I'm talking about the God who's a doctor in your sick room. God who's still a lawyer in the courtroom. A God who makes ways out of no ways and hows out of no hows. I'm talking about a God who's a bridge over troubled waters. Who's still water when you're thirsty and bread when you're hungry. God your mother when you're motherless. God your father when you're fatherless. And that God is still able to make a special delivery. You may ask, what's the special delivery? I'll say, hold up, let me tell you. A special delivery is when everybody else step off, then God steps in. A special delivery is when everybody says no, but God says, yes, I will. Have you ever been a recipient of a special delivery? Oh, you had nowhere to turn. Money was funny, change was strange, and your credit and debit couldn't get it. And you had nowhere to turn. You ran out of friends and ran out of family, but God showed up. And God showed up with mercy, and God showed up with grace, and God showed up with healing. That's what I call a special delivery. Joseph would tell you I had to go through a pit in the prison, but God showed up with a special delivery and took me into the palace. The Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and a big Negro would tell you we was in a fiery furnace, but a fourth one got in and gave us a special delivery. Esther would tell you they tried to genocidally take out our whole tribe, but the Lord showed up and I saw the king anyway. That's a special delivery. That's not true for them. That's true for you this morning. Some of you were broke, busted, and disgusted, tore up from the floor up, a wreck up from the neck up, but you stand here this morning, not because you look so good, not because you're so educated, because there's a God who sits high, but sure enough can come down low, who can pick us up and turn us around and place our feet on solid ground. That's a special delivery. I wish I had a witness this morning. You ought to be looking out your window when you go home for your special delivery. You ought to be waiting by your door because you're anticipating God's special delivery. There's a theology behind Federal Express and UPS. They have a simple truth that's foundational to their business model. They say, if you ordered it, put your name on it and put your address, they'll deliver it right to your door. What if I told you that when you order from God, God knows your name, God knows your address, and God will bring it right to your door? If you need joy, won't God bring it right to your door? If you need provision, won't God bring it right to your door? When you need favor, God will bring it right to your door. Special delivery. Am I preaching or is it just me? A special delivery. In our text this morning, it's a post-resurrection narrative. Jesus has risen just like he said he would. And earlier, the Marys, Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, went looking for Jesus. But the other disciples, the brothers, are away in fear. And they carry the message. They are the first licensed and ordained preachers of the gospel. And they spread this word. And Jesus says, go tell my brothers. And notice the versatility of the Lord. Jesus can be found when we look for him, but also Jesus will come looking for us. Mary went looking, but Jesus comes seeking out his disciples. I'm so glad, even when I'm in fear and trepidation, the Lord will come and see about me. Text says that they are in the house with the doors locked in fear. Nothing paralyzes our purpose like fear. Nothing will immobilize our destiny like fear. Fear will keep us. Fear will cause us to put limits on a limitless God. Preach, Pastor Groove, I already am. Something about fear. But the doors are locked. But locked doors won't stop Jesus. Chain on the doors. But chains won't stop Jesus. And what I understand about Jesus, Jesus is not afraid of locked doors, because I heard him say the other day, I am the door. I am the door, because I'm a good shepherd. Jesus don't unlock the door. Jesus doesn't pick the lock. The text says he just shows up. Oh, I wish I had somebody this morning. Somehow he just shows up. And I'm under the sneaky suspicion that somebody here needs the Lord to just show up. Show up in my house. Show up in our church and our community. The Lord shows up, and notice the word peace be with you. Notice he doesn't go and tell them their failures because they abandoned him. He doesn't rehearse their past. Instead, he gives them a release unto their future. Peace be unto you. And get this, he shows him the marks on his hands. He shows him the marks on his side. He shows him his scars. Scars are evidence that the pain was real. Scars are evidence that the trauma was real. But scars are also the reminder of victory. Scars are a reminder of deliverance. And I would say this morning, each of us has some scars. I've been scarred financially. Scarred socially, scarred by my family, scarred by my friends, but my scar is a reminder that God kept me anyway. God delivered anyway. You do know you serve a God of anyway. God will bless you anyway. God will come through and see about you anyway. God will bless you and favor you and be gracious and merciful anyway, anywhere, anytime, and don't care who's got to say anything about it. Scars are our marks of redemption. Scars are wounds that have been healed by God. I don't trust people who don't have scars. You sing differently after you get some scars. Oh, you preach differently after you've been scarred. You shout differently after you've been scarred. You give differently after you have. I have any scarred people here? You live differently. You pray differently when you've been scarred. Jesus doesn't show off a crown. He shows off his scars. Doesn't show off a robe, but he shows off his scars. And what Trenton needs from us, and what Philadelphia needs from us, is not showing off our education and our finery, but we got to show them we've been scarred too. But we serve a God who allows our scars to be ministry to pick people up and serve and fight for justice and what's right. Show somebody your scars. Says, as the Father, as God has sent me, so I'm going to send you. And then he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. The Hebrew mind, breath is symbolic, the same word for spirit, ruach. So Jesus said, I'm going to take a breath and breathe on you and exhale my power into your powerlessness. I'm going to exhale my strength into your weakness. I'm going to exhale my courage into your fear. Anybody want to take a breath with the Lord this morning? He breathed on them. He's saying, you need the Holy Spirit if you're going to be my disciples. You're going to need this Holy Spirit if you're going to fight the empire Rome. You're going to need this empire. You're going to need this Holy Spirit if you're going to forgive those who smiled in your face. Lord, the time try to take your place. You're going to need this Holy Spirit if you're going to keep giving when your money's low. You're going to need this Holy Spirit not just to make you move and make you shout, but to make you be real and make you love and make you have compassion and make you fight against injustice. You need the Spirit of the living God. That's why we sing in our tradition, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. But we can't be filled with God's Spirit if we are full of ourselves. God can pour God's Spirit into a vessel that's full. It takes a canonic kenosis and emptying. That's why Jesus warned them, you're going to be my disciples. First, got to deny yourself. Then take up your cross. Then you can follow me. He says, if you forgive, they're going to be forgiven. But if you keep that bitterness, it's going to stay with you. You do know sometimes forgiveness is not for them, it's for us. Forgiveness, I think it was Gandhi who said, when we hold on to unforgiveness, it's like us being burned, wishing the fire would burn somebody else. Jesus says, in this business of being a disciple, you're going to have to forgive. But what's interesting is that Thomas Didymus, the twin, is not there. And the disciples come back with a praise report. And you got to be careful about who you give your praise report to. Everybody won't be excited about your praise report. You know, misery loves company. Some people shut up when you come up. Be careful who you give your praise report to. They come back and say, yo, Tom, we saw the Lord. And Thomas, who we framed as a doubter, may give us some instruction this morning. Paul Tillich, the great German theologian, says doubting is not the opposite of faith, but doubt is an element of faith. And what if we had space in our churches for people who are not there but still have some doubts? Don't got the ABCs down, but have doubts. And look at Tom. Tom says, listen, I know what y'all seen, but until I see the nails in his hand and put my hand in the side, I won't believe. He's not saying your testimony is false. He's saying that's y'all. I got to get my own testimony. And you can only run off the testimony of the pastor and the deacons for so long. You can only use mama and daddy and big mama and big daddy's testimony so long. One day, you got to get your own. You got to meet the Lord for yourself and have an approximation with the Almighty, be in the presence of God. Don't use nobody else's testimony. Have the courage to get your own. Week goes by. They're in the house. Doors locked. Tommy's here this time. And just like the earlier portion of the text, Jesus shows up. Notice the word, peace, shalom, be with you. And the first thing he says is, Tom, look at my hands. Thomas, touch my side. Do you believe now? What I love about the Lord, there's grace for people who still need more proof. And the doubter, we've traditionally called Thomas, gives the most eloquent and profound statement of faith. The doubter says, my Lord and my God. I bet if you would ask Thomas, if you interviewed him, he'd probably say, now, you can't make me doubt him. I know too much about him. And Jesus raises the status and raises the ante a little bit and says, you now believe because you see. But blessed are those who can believe and they can't see anything. I'm almost out of here. You can't see it, but believe anyway. I'm almost out of here. You can't see it, but fight for it anyway. You can't see him or her, but fight for them anyway. You can't see the family center yet, but believe anyway. You can't see your family coming back together, but believe anyway. You can't see Trenton being restored in the ways it needs to be, but believe anyway. Is there anybody here will say, I can't see it, but seeing is not always believing. I'm going to believe anyway. I'm going to pray anyway, because we serve the God of a special delivery. I close with this one. There was a dog who was a stray dog. And the dog found a back porch to go into and started barking. And a girl started throwing food at the dog. The next day, the dog brings his best friend. She feeds both of the dogs. The next day, the best friend brings the best friend. She feeds all three of the dogs. The next day, you got it, the best friend of the best friend of the best friend brings the best friend. And now it's five dogs being fed, and the girl asked the first dog a question. She said, how come when I fed you, you brought other dogs with you? And the dog said, I thought if you could make a delivery for me, you could make a delivery for somebody else. I'm out of here with this one, but if the Lord can bless me, I know the Lord can bless you too. If the Lord can deliver me, the Lord can deliver you. If the Lord can restore me, the Lord can restore you. Do I have a witness here? Because we serve a God who can make a delivery. Won't God do it? Won't God find us? Won't God heal us? Won't God bless us? I got a question for you. Have you tried him? Ain't God all right? Won't God make a way out of no way? Won't he make a how out of no how? You ought to wave your hands and say, I'm waiting for my delivery. I'm shouting for my delivery. I'm praying for my delivery. Say yeah, yeah, yeah. While you're waiting, say, I will trust in the Lord until I die. I'll stay on the battlefield until I die. I'll treat everybody right until I die. If you love them, say yeah, 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 yeah. Hey, ain't he all right? You want to give God a special delivery praise? I don't have it yet, but it's mine. I ain't got it yet, but it's mine. Say it's mine. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. World can't give it. World can't take it away. It's mine. Yeah. I will trust in the Lord. Oh, I will trust. Yes, I will. I will. Oh, in till I die. Oh, till I die. I will trust in the Lord. I trust in until I realize. Ooh, that feels all right this morning. Yeah, I'll stay on the battlefield. I'm gonna stay on the back. Yes, sir. Yes, I will. I'm going to stay on. Oh, die. I'm going. Now look at somebody for this verse. We're going to treat everybody right. Huh. I am going to treat everybody. Oh, yeah. Body right. I am going to treat till I die. Yeah, till I die. Sing Shiloh. This is your call this morning. If you don't know the Lord, you are a candidate for a special delivery. As the deacons and deaconesses and officers come, this is your call. The Lord wants to deliver to you the gift of salvation, of forgiveness, of love. Some man, some woman, some boy, some girl, this is your call. If you need a church home, this is your call as well. Oh, yeah. Yes. Is there one today? Is there one?